This talk yesterday about effort. Caused a lot of people to look into this whole thing of effort. A lot of questions came up in meetings about it, and there seems to be a need to go on with it a little bit more or take up what was brought up in the meetings in depth. One person said, but isn't there something really good to put a lot of effort into one's work? To work hard and to achieve something, to attain something? What's wrong with that? It turned out, upon questioning further, that the person was talking about work, everyday work. The work we do for a livelihood. It is one thing to put oneself completely into the work one is doing, which is only possible if one really loves to do what one is doing. Well, I shouldn't say it is only. We'll talk about it. We'll look at it. But if one loves to build, or to paint, or to be with people, counseling up as a doctor, as a teacher, one really loves children. Doesn't just do it for the paycheck, but one really loves to do it. Then, of course, one puts oneself into it. One puts all of oneself into the work. One may be exhausted at the end of the day. Building, doing construction is very exhausting, can be very exhausting to the body, and one is wiped after 8 hours of it, or whatever time one has put in. But this is not the effort that was talked about yesterday. The effort that was talked about yesterday is setting oneself a goal and trying to achieve that goal. And plowing with willpower through all the resistances and difficulties that present themselves. I'm using the word plowing through them or pushing them aside. Difficulties that situations bring up or people that get into the way. Pushing it all aside to attain the goal. In that case, one gives one's energies for the sake of the goal, not necessarily for the sake of what one is doing this moment. That is just a means to an end. Meeting all these difficulties is what one puts up with and battles with in order to achieve the promised goal. In which case there is no space and attention given the very resistance itself and the nature of the difficulties and the people around one and oneself in one's compulsive ways. To work and give one's heart, one's energies, one's muscle power, whatever is required to do the thing for the love of the thing that may be physically exhausting, it is never a mental conflict. And it is, while it is exhausting, on the one hand, it is also refurbishing on the other. Because one is not in conflict with one's work, one doesn't hate it. One can be there, one doesn't just do this in order to get that. Trying to get this over with to reap in the reward. I'm putting it very bluntly, but this is for the sake of example. We can all look at it how it is in our own case. But the person had said something more. It said, what's wrong with working hard and with achieving, with being successful? Because this is what I've been trying to do all my life. Be successful. In looking at this, talking about it, we're not saying it's right or wrong to be successful or to work that way, but can one understand all the processes in motion while one is working this way? If one does reach success, what happens to the mind? Is there a new image born of the successful person, the one who has attained, which is an immediate separation from those who are not successful, who have not attained? And does one find after a while that the success, that the boost to the whole organism, mental and physical, wears off, wears down, and then one needs to do this whole thing over again? Does one find in the process of pushing for success in a firm, in a company, in an organization, one may be alienating or feeling alienated from the other people? Either what we already mentioned, trying to push them out of the way by whatever means, often it can be a subtle intrigue, trying to polish the apple with someone, or maybe even talking about another person. Or is there jealousy toward the people who are in competition for the same spot, who may be a little bit ahead of one? All of this being anything but affection in relationship. It's alienation is the absence of love. And in any kind of self-centered pushing ahead toward success and attainment, there is self-enclosure. And in self-enclosure, there is no love. It doesn't go together. It doesn't work that way. The two are totally mutually exclusive. I'm not saying this to influence anybody. Everybody can check this out for himself or herself. One can ask the question the other way around. Is it possible to do a job and do it well, being with it, not just trying to get it over with, but allowing space during the work time to really see what one is doing, see how one is involved, the feelings of it, physical, mental. See it in all detail and also in its overall aspect with regard to the people who are also involved with it. Be with the whole thing. and yet not attached to any achievement in it, not trying through this work to become somebody, to obtain a new identity. Those are two entirely different things, and they don't have to go together. One may get a promotion, but is that affecting one's mind so that one becomes somebody, or does one just see this is what happened? It's nice to get a bigger paycheck. But is one somebody because of this position, which is a separation from everybody else? The way one sees others, above quotation marks and below, and those who are on the same level. All these identities, and we've talked about it throughout this retreat, are the essence of isolation and separation and conflict. And either pride and good feelings temporarily, or sorrow if one happens to be a failure. Quotation marks, doesn't make it, somebody else makes it time and time again. Then the identity of being a loser, which is the other side of the same coin. So does the love of work and giving oneself to this work with responsibility, meaning responding to what is there, what needs to be done, not just manually or mentally, but also in relationship to the people with whom one works. Can that all happen without trying to use this to get something else? More money, more fame, more status, which, when they're really obtained, very soon turn to ashes. Partly because of this mechanism of this mind to get used to things and then want more, to get the new jolt, the new high. Missing all the while what is at hand. The beauty of a moment which is not under any pressure to achieve, but is open to see and feel and listen. Just being there with what's there without conflict. One may say, but our whole society is geared toward success and advancing. And I feel like an outcast if I don't follow in the pattern, if I don't conform to this. But does one have to conform to something that is not healthy, that sets people against people, that wears out the system? And that is shallow. It doesn't allow a living in depth. And it's really basically without joy, even though the moment of succeeding there may be happiness and one is congratulated by people one One may not know whether the congratulations are really sincere. People who congratulate one upon one's promotion may have wanted to have that job themselves. Underneath it, there is envy. But the feelings that emanate from an image, what are they? Like a shot in the arm. It's a dizzy kind of a high. It's not the joy that comes on its own. When one is really there, without pressure, without having the achievement in mind, without slurring over what is right before one and within one, allowing its space to blossom. Not being in the way, with all one's motives and goals and hopes and disappointments. Just being there and letting the wind blow through. Because there are no walls of division. No walls of time, today I'm this, but tomorrow or in a few years I'll be that. This is erecting walls of time. And one is too preoccupied to hear the birds. Or look into the face of the people around one. Really look, not just judge or have an image of them, what they did to one yesterday or a year ago or 10 years ago. But to look freshly, because one doesn't want anything of them. One is just there together. If one doesn't work like that for the sake of what's there to be done, giving one's energies to it. When there is a motive and a goal, one very, very easily will feel exploited. When things don't go one's way, and then there's resentment eating away at the inside. So can one look at all of that as one is working? See it, not immediately want to get rid of this and this and this, which seems to be wrong. This is not the meaning of this talk, to point out what is right and wrong, but to look at what actually is happening. With a mind that comes at it freshly, not through what one has thought before, believed before, but if possible, putting it aside and looking anew. with regard to this work that we're doing here, what we're calling work for lack of another word. Actually, what we talked about is that to look into oneself, to understand what goes on in the body, mind. One person said, no matter, and please, I'm not quoting anybody verbatim, I'm reformulating it for the sake of this talk here. Person says, well, sitting may be no effort for you, but for me it is. Just to sit down is an effort. So in questioning it, carefully not jumping on each other, why is it an effort to sit down? And the next question, why does one sit down if it is an effort? One has to question it, at least one is free to question it. But in this case, sitting down, the person said, is an effort because of all the pains and difficulties one has had with it in the past. And one remembers those. And it's not just the brain cells that remember, the fibers and organs of the body also seem to remember past pain and difficulty, tensions, agony. So one can look very carefully, precisely, is it because of the memory that one sits down with effort, remembering all the past pain and feeling I don't want to have any more of that, but I'm probably going to have more of it, and I hate to even think about it, but it's going to come. Sort of a ball of resistance there, made up of memory of what was. And then also the memory that to sit through pain is good for one. One has heard these words innumerable times, no pain, no gain. And thinking there must be some truth to that, or else it wouldn't be said. Maybe also remembering that in sitting through pain, there were moments in which the pain disappeared. Wasn't there, there was a freedom from it and the joy of that and wanting that remembered joy again. Out of this comes the effort to sit down. Out of remembered pain and remembered reward or joy. Wanting the other and putting up with this. And yet the whole thing being sort of a ball of resistance. Is one sitting to get back that remembered joy or a promised joy? One may not have experienced it, but one has heard about it. Is that why one is sitting down? Or is one sitting down to explore the very thing at hand, the resistance, the fear? Not knowing where it will lead one, not knowing if it is penetrable, if it will open up, one doesn't know, because one comes at it freshly. If there's no curiosity, really a a serious interest in finding out about oneself as a human being. Then it will become an effort, and one will do it for the sake of something else and put up with stuff that don't interest one. Or feel one has to put up with stuff which one doesn't really know want. It's an ambivalence there, which again challenges one's efforts to fight it or to push it aside. But if one has lived with resistance most of one's life, as one person put it, it isn't just resistance of sitting, it's resistance all day long. Getting up out of bed is a chore. There's such resistance. Where will one begin? And how will one begin? By pushing, as one has been told and taught to do, to fight and strive and struggle. Or will one begin in wonderment what this is all about and whether it actually has to be this way? How it arises, whether it can be looked at without any desire to overcome it, do away with it, do violence to it, the violence of willpower. Can one see that this is an entirely new way of working? Which is not giving up. It's not giving up. Giving up is also what we've done before. It's another mode of doing something about our situation, namely giving up, either plowing through or giving up. It's two sides of the same thing. But not knowing what it is and exploring it, sitting with it, as with a friend one is visiting who is too ill to talk, doesn't want to have a conversation but doesn't mind somebody just sitting there, being with him unconditionally, not saying, oh, you're going to get better. I think that's the worst thing one can say to a sick person. You'll be all right. Cheer up. It doesn't speak to the condition. And that person doesn't feel like revealing how he actually feels. So in talking about no effort, we're talking about no pushing against antagonistically or opposing. It does not mean giving up, turning away. Actually, to look at a condition like resistance, and is seriously interested in what this is, trying to plumb it, to understand it. The energies gather in that interest, in that inquiry. Because they don't go into all the other directions of judgment, acceptance, condemnation. Or forgetting about this and daydreaming instead. It's another thing one person brought up, saying, if I didn't make an effort, I would daydream all day. That's what we do almost all day. Or isn't it? I'm not interested in making it quantitative. How long, how much. There's a lot of daydreaming going on for human beings. And the fact that sitting here around daydreaming, the fact that there's an instant of awareness of that, did that happen because one was making an effort? One was having a nice fantasy of being, let's say, on Hemlock Lake, canoeing through the channels. And suddenly, one wakes up to the fact that there's a daydream going on. Did one bring that attention about through effort? Because one was making an effort to be attentive? Or did this just happen? One doesn't know how. And then at that moment of waking up to the fact that a daydream has been going on, what's the next step? That's very crucial. Either the daydream was so pleasant and the legs hurt so much that one slips right back into what is pleasant. That's not making an effort. Or one starts berating oneself for daydreaming, for wasting one's time. It is already day 5 or 6, and I haven't done anything useful yet, anything penetrating. When will I ever shape up? I ought to shape up. All of this is not attention. Is it effort? It may be effort. Maybe effort in terms of the vigor with which one berates oneself, but it is in a way a new daydream. It's nothing new. First one was dreaming of one thing, now one is dreaming of how one should be or shouldn't be. And does this kind of putting oneself down or encouraging oneself to be attentive, does that bring about attention? Or is attention there when one just listens, one wakes up from a daydream and wonders, what's going on beside this dream? I say, I must listen to those birds. I can't listen. Then I'm involved with my compulsive thinking, which is ancient. It echoes everybody who has ever told me, you must do this or that. Listening is nothing special. It's there when the effort relaxes. And therefore the energy can gather freely, not being pushed into habitual channels of compulsion. One can begin to go about this with this inquiring mind we talked about. Really seriously wondering about how we constantly spin this cocoon around us. Cocoon of ideas and memories and good intentions and bad intentions. And then the darkness of this cocoon. Really begins to inquire into this whole process seriously, not with a vengeance, then in discovering resistance and having it open up and show itself and show what may be underneath it, fear or anger or whatever, and being with that, then there's light pouring into this cocoon, or the cocoon just isn't there because one is looking at everything. And in this kind of light shedding and discovery, there's a joy. As one person said, it can even be fun. One may be so conditioned to think when one has to grit one's teeth all the time, jaw upon jaw. One person told me that in years and years of doing this work, and it was the truth, it was not a metaphor, he wore his teeth down from grinding them on top of each other. That way, one will not find this joy of discovering about oneself. What is termed ugly as well as what is termed otherwise. It doesn't matter what is seen. What matters is that there is seeing and discovering of what moves and impedes and binds a human being so that there cannot be a loving relationship among us. One discovers about oneself, one discovers about everyone else. And with that, the divisions melt, It's the beauty of this work. So nice to have all the doors and all the windows open, isn't it? We will end here for today.